Last Wednesday night, I told you, I said, from now on, I am not going to preach complicated messages. Because we have people here that come, like, that are young Christians. And some of this stuff that I've taught, and I've just taught my fill of it. I asked God a long time ago, I've been praying for years, Lord, help me to know you. Help me to understand who Jesus is. And I prayed about that, and I'm satisfied. And God satisfied me, so I'm going to get off that subject for a while. Now, I do not know the day, week, month, or year Mary gave birth to Jesus. What difference does it make? He didn't bother to tell us. He didn't tell us it was December 25th. And I will assure you that the shepherds in Israel do not take their sheep out to feed on grass in December 25th because it's mighty sparse. And what they do, and it's cold out there. Sometimes it's snow covers the grass. So I don't know the day, week, month, or year Mary gave birth to Jesus. So why didn't God tell us? Well, you'll have to ask God about that. All I know is I love Christmas, and I want every day in my life to be like Christmas. I have loved manger scenes since I was that tall. Yeah, I liked all this other stuff, and I liked the idea that some guy in a red suit was coming and all that. I liked that because I got stuff. You say, well, that was pretty carnal. I know that's carnal. But good gravy, as a child, you know, I want this, I want that. And I was disappointed some Christmases. But I've never been disappointed with Jesus. And so from the time I was little, I didn't understand it. But when I would see a manger scene, something would happen in here. I didn't know the Lord, but I was safe. And I would just look and I would think how wonderful that was. And then in Sunday school, when they started putting me in Sunday school and they showed Jesus with that lamb up there, I was just so excited because that was the one in the manger. And pretty soon I figured out, he's the lamb. But I had no idea he was God Almighty. I had no idea that he was the everlasting Father. I didn't know any of that. But I knew that I loved him. You say, well, you couldn't have loved him. A child is safe. And believe me, the Holy Spirit does let children know some stuff. And I loved them. I loved manger scenes. I've loved them ever since. Here I am, 82 years old, and I love them. I love them. Because when I stand there and think about it, I know so much about him now that it just excites me. And so that's why I have enjoyed what I've taught about Jesus. And I hope Leonard keeps preaching it because I'm not going to present much of it anymore. And Leonard's subject in the school and everything was that very subject. But I'm just going to preach some pure old plain simple stuff. And I'm going to talk about Jesus till after Christmas. And I may keep on after Christmas because the truth of the matter is what you're reading. What I do know, it is more important to know he was God with us. He was God, Emmanuel, with us. Now I know who was in that manger. It was God with us. And man's calendar year's gift extending into God's timeless eternally. At the seventh trumpet rapture, it says, and time shall be no more. For us, throw away the calendar. There is no more calendar. There is no more June 1st, January 1st, all that. There is no calendar. And we're going to have eternity. How do you measure time in eternity? Well, you say you have to. Not with God, you don't. And so we won't have to worry about getting up in the morning. We won't have to worry about going to bed at night. We won't have to worry about what we're going to eat. We won't have to worry about anything except we won't even worry about pleasing Jesus because he will let us know what it takes to please him and we will do it and that will be a everyday thing. Boy, I can't wait. I'm like Don McCoy said one time. He said, Lord, if I knew how to get there, I'd start out afoot. And he really meant it. It's an exciting thing. And it's a thing that's worth considering. Now in Isaiah 7:14, he says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now I understand that. Now I understand that there are three offices and he is God with us. Now I understand what the Christmas story is all about. But it's about Christ. And we have turned it into a commercial project. And instead of having a time of season where we worship God spiritually, we ought to do it every year. And this carnal thing on Christmas, it is carnal. But our children love it. And quite frankly, our carnal man loves it too. So go ahead and enjoy it, because I do. And I feel close to my family, and I love Christmas. But I don't celebrate it on the 25th. I try to celebrate it every day, and that's the truth. And I've had to learn to do that. I didn't do that when I first came up here. Matthew 1:21-23, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior. And he shall save his people from their sins," plural. Now, all this was done. God did all this. Who did he do it for? Well, I like Leonard's word. For your benefit, for my benefit, not for his benefit, but for our benefit, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." This is 700 B.C. this was written. "Shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." We will only see one God in heaven manifested as Jesus the Word. You know, even as a child, after I was saved, I never thought about seeing three gods up there. Nobody ever asked me, and they told me about the Trinity, and they told me about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But for some reason, God was extremely merciful to me. And when I was going to go to heaven, it was going to be that child in the manger grown up, and it was going to be him and him only. I never put the two together and said, he's God, but I never thought there was any more than one God in heaven, and I thought Jesus was it. Now, I didn't come on that on my own. I didn't get it from the Word. I got that from the Spirit after I was saved, and I didn't sit around and contemplate on it because I didn't have enough spiritual growth to understand it. And there are some people that never do get enough spiritual growth to understand it, because they don't get to know Jesus as Paul got to know him. He says, we shall see only one God in heaven manifested as Jesus the Word. One God manifested his power and love in his creation of all things. One God manifested his power and love in the creation of all things. He fulfilled three offices. God went to a lot of trouble for our benefit. And do you know what God had to do? God is perfect. And God is just. And when God decided this was the just thing to do, it is the just thing to do. And God believed he had to justify himself that he might justify all men in Jesus Christ, whom he would send as God the Father, and the Son would come as God the Son, the seed of the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's a fact. That's not complicated. One God and his Son, and the Word was God. That was the office of the Son. And the Father was the office of the Father. And the Holy Spirit was the presence of Jesus Christ in a saved heart. And afterwards, he also walks alongside us. The same was in the beginning with God. This refers to Jesus right here, the incarnate Christ. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That means exactly what it says. Why am I setting up here? And why am I teaching this? Two reasons. I got my life from God's created Adam. And when I got my life from God's first Adam, I got his soul and got his nature. And I'm setting up here because I'm alive because God made my forefather Adam. And I have his soul in my flesh. And I have his life. But now I have a new life. The second Adam made me alive again. And the life was the light of men. I don't worry about light in heaven when the sun's going to come up to tell me it's time to get out of bed. I don't worry about It's always going to be light. The light will be God Himself. And God Himself will be Jesus. And there will be one God. And in Him will be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the light shineth in darkness. That's what happened when the earth was created. It shined in darkness. Well, what happened in my life when I finally just gave up and trusted Him, knowing I could not save myself? Suddenly the light shined in darkness inside me, and it's been there ever since, and it never has stopped shining. But there's no reason it can't shine more. It was just about the size of a grain of mustard seed, probably, but it was light, and for the first time, that light gave me relief. I don't mean I felt lightning go from the top of my head to my feet or ran up and down an aisle screaming about it. I stood down at the front and prayed for 2 hours. I just happened to know the minute I was saved, there was a change in me. Something happened, and something gave me a great relief. It was God's light, and it shined in my heart. And finally, my soul comprehended it, and the darkness comprehended it not. God gave me the ability by His Spirit to understand what was happening to me. And I didn't have to be taken down a Roman road, because somehow I knew. Let me exchange that somehow. By the Spirit of God, I knew. I didn't know who John the Baptist, I didn't know how John the Baptist was involved in this, but now I do. That means a lot to me. Why? Well, God doesn't have to reinforce all this for me, but God does. God reinforces all this by teaching me what He did, and I'm amazed. I'm a lot more amazed than if He hadn't told me. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And his voice thundered across the Jordan River when he first saw Jesus, and the disciples were there and heard it. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." They knew what the Lamb was. They knew the Lamb was sacrificed. But they sure didn't understand that that man across the river was God Almighty. And that man across the river was the everlasting Father. They didn't understand that. But I tell you what, when John said Lamb, they took off after him. And who do you think put that in their hearts? The same God that had saved them when they came to John, repenting of their sins, and He baptized them. And there they were. And that man was somebody that was more important than following that John, because John told them that. And they followed him. What did they know about him? About what I knew before I got saved. Through him might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Look at this. This man, John, came, and he did something for your benefit. Who sent him? God sent him. He was the only man on earth that had the authority to baptize. That man came and he bore witness. It cost him his life. But that was for your benefit. Everything that God's ever done is for your benefit. And God loves His creation, and God loved us, and God didn't want to destroy it at the first. But God is just. And when God does something, it's always just. Bear witness of that light. Now he talks about Jesus again. That was the true light, that which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. When you come into the world, God has already lightened you. That's why you're safe. Whenever you come into the world, every man, anthropos, every man comes into the world, meaning male and female. Every child that comes into this world is born by the light of God. Not born again, but the light of God, whose name was John. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every child that cometh into the world. They're safe. They don't die until God's Holy Spirit decides, and He's the only one who can decide. This child has reached a place where they can they can accept. And he knows, I sure don't. But in any case, when that child first becomes accountable, does God say right away, 2 minutes later, okay, this is your last chance? The Bible doesn't say. But I'll tell you what I think. I think God knows what he's doing. And I think God knows how much time to give him. And I'm not saying that what I'm saying is what God said. I know him a lot better than when I first came up here. And you know what I do? I just let God decide. Because God knows, and God's not going to send anybody to hell unjustly. And I just leave all that in God's hands. And God, because you can trust God. You can depend on God. You don't have to worry if he loves the child. You don't have to worry because he just might take them right after they hit it. I don't. Because I trust God and his judgment. And I don't make a judgment of how long afterwards he withdraws it. He says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They do not know him now. And many people that are church members, they do not know him either. They don't know anything about him, except one time they made a profession of faith, and they felt relieved, and God saved them, and they were gloriously saved, and everybody went by and pat and shook their hands, and they probably submitted to scriptural baptism, and they became church members, and everybody in the church was excited, hallelujah. You say, how do you know that? But listen, I grew up in our churches. You don't know how many revivals we had at that church every year. And we'd get the fastest gun in the state. He was usually preoccupied for the whole time, but we'd get the second fastest gun. If we couldn't get him, we'd get the third fastest gun. The one who had the most souls to his account, like he kept them in a bag alongside him. And he'd get people all stirred up. He'd get me stirred up. But for some reason, I didn't go down the aisle. I just, you know, I was glad the others went, but I just didn't go. And finally, one night I went. Because there wasn't any doubt what he had done for me. And I went down there to tell the preacher I was saved. Now, you know the episode I went through. He says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Jews didn't receive him. Do you know they're still the apple of his eye? You say, well, how come he's letting them go through all this punishment? That's God's decision. You say, well, what do you think of that? I think he's doing just exactly the right thing. You say, could you tell me why? Yes, because he's God. That's exactly what I believe. I'm certain of it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I didn't will myself to be saved. I came to understand I couldn't save myself. And I came to understand it that night. And I don't want to be emotional about it, but for the first time in all those 4 years he was convicting me, I saw Jesus in my heart, hanging on that cross and dying for my sins. And I understood why he did it. He did it personally for me. The preacher had said during his message, as I recall, that if I was the only one here, all the others on earth never came into existence. Would he have done that for me? The preacher convinced me. And I thought he would. And to this day, I still believe that he would. Amen. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I was born again by the Spirit of God. And it was the Father in His office that led me to the Son. And it was the Holy Spirit of this man, Jesus Christ, who came into my heart and convinced me. And I went to Him. And I believed Him. And dwelt among us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, they handled Him. They touched Him. Can you imagine touching God? Can you imagine touching God? You say, well, He wasn't really God. Yes. Yes. And He showed the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. He transformed Himself and shined with glory. I don't think He shined with His full glory, but He sure shined with enough of it to let them see that this was not just a flesh and blood man. He was a flesh and blood man in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. I didn't know that when I got saved. But let me tell you, this has been a great assurance to me. And after God saved me, He said, okay, now. He didn't peek in my ear, but it gradually dawned on me. Paul said that I may know Him. And even as a young man, I thought, well, good grief, Paul, you already knew Him as Savior, and so did I. But then I came to understand there was a lot more to Jesus than just Jesus saves. There was Jesus shepherds. Jesus watches over. Jesus never leaves nor forsakes you. There was a whole new world for me. I apologize to God, and I've said it to Him many times, and I try not to repeat it again because once you say it, He hears it. But I apologize to Him. I just wish to God I had grasped all this at a much younger age. I could have had a lot of happier life, and I would have made you a better pastor. He says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God didn't create earth void and without form. When I first taught that to you years ago, I taught you that it was Lucifer that destroyed the earth between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And when Leonard did a message on that, he said it was God. And he made a case for it, and I believed it. And I'm grateful for it. A person that can't be taught anymore is a person that thinks he's God. And so I believe Leonard to be correct. Makes a lot more sense. And I use that same scripture over in Isaiah 45:18, where it says He didn't create it in vain. And I use that to show that God didn't create it that way, tohu and bohu, so Satan must have destroyed it. But I was wrong. God did the destroying. He always does with His own creation. Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I taught that exactly it is. The only thing I did was to say that I thought Satan did it. I don't think that anymore. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, when Jesus came into the world, here's the light. It's in me now. It's in you now. You know Christ is Savior. We have overemphasized this time and time and time and time and time again. All of us that preach here, all of us that teach here, it is God's Son that the world wants to see. It is the seed. It is the office of the Son operating in you that they want to see. They want to see Jesus, and He's inside you. And the more you yield to Him, and the more you pray and ask Him to help you to yield to Him, the greater witness it is to a lost and dying world. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain and formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, if you get your Strong's, and Tommy Brown's been teaching this, and I'm so glad we had this school. Same definition for form and void in Young's, in Strong's and Young's Analytical Concordance. Now, If you'll take Young's Analytical Concordance, I know some of you got one. Go over there and look in Young's Analytical Concordance, and you'll find that tohu and bohu have exactly the same definition. You will also discover that what they have in Strong's is the same definition. They mean the same thing. And it's amazing what they mean. Without form, waste, empty, in vain, vain, formless, wilderness. It's the same definition in Young's and Strong's. They basically mean the same thing. You say, well, why did God use both words? Just to let you know that it was one terrible mess. And God doesn't create messes. He says, one God manifested His great love for man by fulfilling three offices. I don't know what the difference is because in calling it a trinity and calling it offices. But when you call it a trinity, you give the impression that when you get to heaven, you're going to see three gods. I'll guarantee you they're not going to be up there. There's going to be one. You say, well, I want to see all three. Wonderful. You'll get to see all three of them when you see Jesus. That's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Listen, you got nothing to worry about for all eternity because God is the one God. God manifested His great love for man by fulfilling three offices, which are the offices of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what I'm preaching here is not complicated. It just puts the Scriptures together in a very simple way, and it'll be even more simple for the rest of this year and as far as I can see in the future. And I won't talk a lot about all this other stuff about the three offices. I'll get off that, and I'll just leave that to Leonard because Leonard does an extremely good job of it. 1 John 4:19-5:7. We love Him because He first loved us. That's an amazing statement. Do you know I didn't know that? I thought when I loved Him, I just looked at the picture and I thought, man, I love Him. But the only reason I could love Him because was the Spirit itself. And when I was safe, I loved Him. But I didn't know it was because He first loved me. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And that means exactly what it says. If I don't learn to love the brethren, how can I possibly say I love God? Because God first loved them too. And you say, well, all the brethren aren't lovable. I know I'm one of them and I'm not very lovable sometimes. And neither are you. But we can learn to love one another just the way we are. And pray for us if you think we need to get better. And His commandment, this commandment we have from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That's a commandment. You say, well, what's the inheritance going to be based on? Did you ever consider that it might be how much we learn to love our brethren? Are they not directly proportional, our love for the brethren and our love for God? Are they not interconnected? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Well, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and he was born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, I love God. Also that he is begotten of him. I'm begotten of him. He died for me while I was a sinner. God. I mean, I was an ungodly man. And he went ahead and died for me and came to live in me so that he could direct my life while I'm still living in the flesh. And he could fight against the carnal nature in me and I could let him until the resurrection. Then I won't have a carnal nature anymore. You have no idea how much I'm looking forward to heaven. Getting up there and for the first time in my life being honest, sincere, having the nature of God, not having the fullness of God, but having the nature of God. And to be able to just love Him forever. And to keep on growing in love for Him. I tell you, if people really understood, and I didn't understand at one time, but I do now. If people really understood this, they devote more time after they were saved to becoming like Him. Because we shall see Him as He is. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, how are you doing? You know, you've been here 40 years. You've learned these things about God, and you overcome the world. No, Christ has overcome the world in me. Christ has overcome the world in me. You say, well, you had to yield to him, so you deserve some credit. Who do you think taught me to yield to him? Chester Gump? No, God taught me. And God convinced me that he overcame the world in me. And I don't get any credit, and I don't want any credit. What I want to do is serve God in heaven and to listen to everything he says and be as close to him as he'll let me be forever. That's what I want. That's the inheritance. They're not great mansions built for us in heaven, and you won't see Kenneth with a great big mansion, and you may see Donna with a great big mansion, but Kenneth will be out there on the suburbs somewhere and not in an igloo. He says, for whosoever is born of God overcome the world. I overcame the world the day I was saved, because it was Christ in me that kept me and never left me nor forsake me. So the world is overcome. But who did it? Why am I here? Jesus, God. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if salvation came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He said, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood. When they stuck the thing in the side on the cross, the soldier, there came by out water and blood. God wanted you to know that this was a flesh and blood man. Sinless, but a flesh and blood man. In him was water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. He was a fully competent, sinless man who fulfilled the office of the Son of God as a man. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth, and he came back to us. And he empowered the local church, the first one. They were already saved. They had already been baptized. Their baptism was by John, as was Jesus' baptism. And they had already observed the Lord's Supper. And that was the empowerment of the first local church, which Jesus had organized during his earthly ministry. And that is what this church is supposed to be. We try to be like that first church. For there are three that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, I'm telling you all this, I don't feel the least twinge of guilt that I've got it wrong. That ought to tell you something, because God bugs me every time I have a thought that he doesn't approve of. For there are three that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, the living Word. Thou art the Son of God. That's what Peter said he was. And the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. I love this verse. And every one of us should also love it. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay, that settles who he is. Now, how confident are you in him? And ye are, teleos, complete in him. You're perfect in him. Which is the head of all principality and power. What did Jesus say? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When you leave out of here this morning, and you go home, Remember what Leonard said about the rainbow. And every time you see a rainbow, remember that God put it there for your benefit. And that's the truth. But remember that God also did everything he ever did for man, for man's benefit. And ask yourself, am I thankful for this benefit? Am I grateful that I'm complete in him? Am I thankful that I can't lose my salvation? Do I love the brethren in the church? Do I assemble with them and worship with them? Do I want to learn how to worship better? That's what this church does. And I believe all of our teachers here, all of our pastors, all of our preachers, I think that we try to make that point because that's the point God makes with us. And we just try to check it on. And believe it or not, I have finished exactly on time. That's the first time I've